broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August 17th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers. A quick recap, man. We got a lot to recap. A couple days ago, we talked about Trump says FBI seized privileged records in raid, wants them immediately returned. Epic Times reported that. And boy, howdy, were they spot on. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds. Oh, great. It has just been learned that the FBI and its, quote, now famous raid of Mar-a-Lago took boxes of privileged attorney-client material and also took privileged material, which they should not have taken. Well, bottom line is they say anonymous sources are validated in the claims. Senator Chuck Grassley, Senate will investigate Donald Trump FBI raid if GOP takes majority. Jack Phillips, shame on the GOP. They're only going to go ahead and prosecute criminals. Listen, they're only going to prosecute criminals if they get elected. We'll talk about that as the broadcast unfolds, too, because that, to me, is a serious problem. You say, Sam, they don't have control in the House if they don't take control. I understand from a control point of view, but it's lies that they can't change the game, and I'm here to prove it. We'll talk about it. Hang tight. We also had our guest on, Lowell Nelson, on Monday. We talked about the incredible two columns written by Ron Paul, Inflation Reduction Act, another D.C. lie. Amen to that. It just got passed. We'll dig into that. Ron Paul, Pelosi's Taiwan trip, exposes foolishness in interventionism. Amen to that reality check. She ought to be prosecuted as a criminal, in my opinion, for going over there. She doesn't represent the United States at all. And she's literally colluding and picking sides in foreign debates, which she has no authority to do. Her actions could spark civil war. Shame on Pelosi. She ought to be arrested for her criminal activity. We talked about Governor DeSantis needs to kick federal agents out of Florida immediately, writes Dr. Joseph Samsom. Amen to that reality check. We talked about sicko gender bender clinics, puberty blockers. It's an article on LouRockwell.com, incredible article. We talked about the resolution in the SEC or meetings that Trump, or I'm sorry, wow, that Lowell attended. Great commentary on elections and more from Lowell Nelson. Yesterday, we talked about Liberty Roundtable Live slightly changes broadcast time. We moved the broadcast an hour later. We believe it'll get us more affiliates and better coverage. So it's now 8 to 10 Mountain Time, 10 to noon Eastern, 9 to 11 Central. Check it out. But it's now more available than ever. And a lot of times, right after we get off the air, in the old times, news would break. Now we'll be able to cover it as it comes out live. Just more effort to around the clock bring to you the news the networks refuse to use. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, Judge Roy Moore, our dear friend, vindicated. He wins $8.2 million in a defamation judgment. Yeah, Roy Moore, baby. I guess he got damages for the derogatory abuse that took place. Now, 1819news.com reported this, and believe it or not, I met the owner of 1819 News last weekend. Gaining friends and influence everywhere we go, ladies and gentlemen. Now, on Friday, a jury in the federal court in the, quote, Northern District of Alabama found the Senate Majority, I guess it's a PAC called the Senate Majority. It's out of Washington District of Criminals. They were liable and liable, but liable for $8.2 million in damages to Roy Moore. You got to love this, folks. We told you this in the beginning. Here's what happened. The Senate, I guess, had a shopping mall ad in which they claimed that Roy Moore was banned from the mall, from the Gadsden Mall, for soliciting sex from young girls. Fact is, it was patently, blatantly false. Yeah, this PAC claims to be solely dedicated to protecting and expanding our Democratic majority. Well, let me ask you, if you got a PAC that's dedicated to expanding the majority, in other words, directly related to elections, and that PAC runs false reporting and then gets busted for libel, okay, and then they have to pay $8.2 million, is that election fraud, ladies and gentlemen? Look, you got a PAC, its whole goal is to get their guys elected. They run opposition, dishonest, blatantly, patently false ads against their opposition, and then, hey, the guy we want loses because they lied. What was it? Years later? How many years did this take to work on? Years later, then we find out they lied. It was patently false. They had to pay $8.2 million, but they still won the election on their fraud. Is that election fraud, ladies and gentlemen? I would say it doesn't get more blatant, more direct than that. But see, I bring that up and they'll say, well, that's not election fraud. You have no proof. Without evidence, they would say. And my response is $8.2 million and a libel lawsuit won by Judge Roy Moore. Enough evidence? Now Roy needs to go after this and tie this to election fraud, ladies and gentlemen. I need to try to call him about that. By the way, our guest today this hour, our co-host, I would like to prefer to say, is with me. James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, and I want you to jump in on this right here. Roy Moore. You know, Sam,
yes, well, great to be back with you, and I was very happy when I found out, it was actually just yesterday morning when I found out about it, that Roy Moore had won that case and that justice had been served in some small way. I say some small way. It's an $8 million judgment. Of course, you know how these things go. It's not like he won $8 million from Exxon where they're just going to pay it out and not miss it. These thugs could file bankruptcy. They could just be shut down. And we don't know how much money he's actually going to get from all of this. I hope he gets every cent. God knows. But $8 million, this man would have been a United States senator, and there's just no doubt about it, had it not been for all of the dirty tricks that they played. And instead of having a Christ-centered, Constitution-loving Roy Moore as the Alabama senator, you have left-wing Doug Jones because of the actions of dirty tricksters like this and, of course, all of the lies that Roy Moore was a child molester and things like that, or whatever they were saying about him at the time. He was really one of the most godly elected officials I've ever heard about. Yeah, I'm sure there are other ones, but he was very high profile, being the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court and everything else he's done in his life. But yes, I mean, as much as I was happy for Roy Moore, it made me wish that we had talked about this again the last time I was on Liberty Roundtable a couple of weeks ago. But certainly made me wish my own case had been decided in an Alabama court rather than Michigan. But I'm glad, and surprisingly so, that Roy Moore could find justice in any court. Very tough for a political dissident to do that. But in this case, the good guy won.
Let me tell you the hope here, James. Oftentimes, what it takes to get something to the Supreme Court is split decisions at the lower courts. So the fact that Roy Moore won, the fact that there's other people that are starting to win, too. I can't remember who else, but there's somebody else who won just recently as well. And then the fact that you lost, these split decisions might actually let us take this whole idea to the Supreme Court. We need to keep track of the wins and losses with all the different people involved and see if we can't push for it to go to the next level, saying, hey, wait a minute, what's going on here? They would try to divide it and say the cases are too nuanced to do that. But I think the principles are very, very similar. And so time will tell if we could do that, but we'll keep an eye on that ball. Anyway, vindicated Judge Roy Moore. That's fantastic news, folks. All right, we also covered Sheriff Mack went on CNN. And here's what happened. CNN had a six-minute piece they did on it. 3 minutes was on another sheriff. They spent about 3 minutes on Richard. They attacked him relentlessly during the three-minute cut. But the real interview was an hour and 25 minutes long.
Yes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Richard recorded the complete interview and released it to show what kind of fraudsters CNN and how dishonest, manipulating the narrative, CNN really is. So Sheriff Mack's full CNN interview We released it and then broke it all down for you. We played the CNN piece and paused and showed how dishonest they were. And then we played the full cut, several different pieces of it, on the air and talked about some of the things they left out that were so important. It was so good. We had a two-hour blockbuster interview with Sheriff Richard Mack about it. And it's important to understand that the two-hour show, first hour was on TV with Bridey on. Second hour, we continued on radio. But we really highlighted this. And if you go to CSPOA.org, you can see the whole interview, all hour and 25 minutes, 1 hour and 25 minutes of it. But you can also listen to unique clips that I singled out that I found so vital, so important, so critical to understand about their dishonesty. For example, when they start, Richard says, hey, I'm on TV with you because I beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court over the Brady Bill. Sheriffs do not have to obey federal mandates of any kind, neither do any other state officials. And that's why we're here today. And she agrees, yes, you won, and da-da-da-da-da-da. Let's learn about your case. That made it nowhere. That got literally left on the cutting floor. The fact is, it never made it to the interview. That's the whole reason they were engaged. Well, let me tell you the reason I'm bringing all this up and spending so much time on it, because I was able to mention James Edwards in yesterday's broadcast with Richard talking about this very thing. We'll do it in seconds. I am Sam Bushman, James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org with me, and we are on your radio.
There has been no evidence of widespread voter fraud.
The 2020 elections were one of the most corrupt in history. See the proof for yourself.
We tracked 2,000 mules making multiple ballot drops.
2,000 mules. The shocking new movie from Dinesh D'Souza.
One mule made 53 trips to 20 drop boxes.
2,000 mules. Join the special virtual premiere and Q&A on May 7th. Get your tickets now. Available only at 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. Sponsored by Salem Media Group.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present day church. Rather, it is for the end time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
So in the second hour of yesterday's broadcast, I talked about CNN and how I forced them to retract their dishonest reporting on me, how they abused Sheriff Richard Mack and took an hour and 25-minute interview, gave him a little less than 3 minutes, and didn't even highlight the reason that he was even talking to them. The fact is he won at the Supreme Court, showing that sheriffs have more authority and more power than they want to admit. Bill Clinton lost, Sheriff Mack won, and a great precedent was highlighted about the Founding Fathers. And about America, that, you know what, the states and all the states' public officials, governor, sheriff, et cetera, they don't have to answer to the federal government, nor do they have to do their bidding. And that was left out of the whole thing. All they did was attack, you know, Richard on a variety of topics. Richard said the FBI is kind of like the Nuremberg thugs. And she freaked and said, oh, my gosh, you're comparing the FBI to Nazis. And Richard said, yes, I am. And the reason that I am is because they're acting like Nazis. Look, they're just running around going, I'm just doing what I was told. I'm not responsible. I'm just following orders. And he highlighted that point. She melted down. And so they had a few feuds about that kind of stuff. But in the end, the real core reason he was on wasn't even highlighted in her three-minute attack job. Well, I tied that to myself and forcing them to retract, but I also tied that yesterday's second hour to James Edwards, because he used to be, you know what, pampered and treated like a rock star and brought in as a commentator for them, and now they act like he's Satan's spawn. What gives, CNN? The fact is, you're dishonest, and we've caught you at it so many ways from Sunday, it's not even funny. From forcing you to retract, to highlighting your hypocrisy, and literally recording the complete interview to prove your dereliction of duty in reporting. James?
Yeah, I will tell you just a very quick story about CNN, and then I'll address the Richard Mack interview that occurred far more recently directly. But I've been on the air 18 years, Sam, as you well know, and if there's one thing my work is known for, it's that I have the courage to tackle the thorny issues of race relations and racial realities in a way that not a lot of people are comfortable talking about. And we also, of course, try to tell the truth in love and all of that. We don't try to be offensive or shocking or go out of our way to upset people, but we are going to tell the truth as we see it, and I think that's a God-ordained mandate. Well, it didn't take me long after going on the air in 2004 to where we started picking up a lot of national attention, and it is true. Back around 2007 especially, CNN had me on for a series of interviews to talk about these issues because they knew I was a guy that they could bring on who would articulate a dissenting point of view on it. And I was on, for instance, to talk about the reason why people self-segregate in their daily lives, immigration concerns, also, for instance, particularly brutal black-on-white murder and torture situation in Knoxville, Tennessee, back around
that
time.
Yeah, by the way, it's called free association, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's right. Well, anyway, so we were brought on to talk about specifically racially tinged issues, but I was always brought on and introduced as a conservative talk radio host, which is certainly what I consider myself to be. James Edwards of the Political Cesspool, he's a conservative talk radio host on AM so-and-so. And that's how they brought me on. And as you said, they afforded me lavish treatment. I mean, first-class flights up to New York, posh hotels and Central Park and all the rest, all while bringing me on to talk about these issues. Now, my positions on the issues have never changed. I haven't, I still have the same positions now as I did then. If anything, perhaps I can articulate them a little bit better. But it was funny, in 2016, I had defended Mike Pence. I had actually complimented something Mike Pence had said in the vice presidential debate of that year, and CNN had a roundtable discussion talking about how the white supremacist James Edwards was defending Mike Pence. Well, this was the same network that always brought me on as a conservative talk radio show host just a decade prior, even less than a decade prior, and then I was a white supremacist. So, yeah, there has been a big difference in how the media treats people like us who are willing to tell the truth in love. But I'll tell you, Sam, a lot of people are doing it now that weren't doing it then. For instance, Steve King, former Congressman Steve King, said just last week that Trump will be indicted. The charges will be brought in the District of Columbia. They know a white man has no chance for a fair trial in D.C., let alone a Republican white man. I will tell you, when I was being brought on to CNN, nobody was talking like that. That's the reason they had to come to me, because you didn't have people that were talking like that. Now a lot of people are talking like that, and it's the truth. Now, as far as Richard Mack's interview, this is the game that they play. They'll sit and tape with you for hours and use 3 minutes. They want to sit and tape with you for as long as they can in hopes that they will be able to take something you say out of context, package it into a nice little three-minute hit piece, and off they go. I don't ever do interviews that aren't live with television media. Now, in some cases, a print publication maybe. But I know the game, and I know Richard very, very capably defended his decision. He knows how the game is played. He's done a lot more of these than I have, to be honest with you. But he knows that people were saying, go do this, and he defended why he decided to do this. But yeah, that whole thing, 3 minutes out of an hour and a half, two-hour-long interview, and then, of course, leaving on the cutting room floor anything that would have painted Sheriff Mack, a righteous and courageous man by all accounts, in a positive light, that didn't make it. But anything that they could do to make him look a little nefarious and extra legal or militia-like or out of control, well, that was a little more. That was a little bit more
and
of what they were looking for.
She even argued in the long-form interview that, you know, somehow Richard Mack is kind of tied to January 6th. Richard Mack didn't go, and he told people not to go. But see, they still link him as part of it somehow. I mean, it's insane. And the American people can see the truth because, again, CNN doesn't like being interviewed, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, and that's what the next interesting tidbit is. Looks like the FBI was recorded, says Eric Trump. Here's the soundbite.
Still have the surveillance tape, is that correct? Will you, are you allowed to share that with the country?
Absolutely, Sean, at the right time. And your body cam point was spot on. That's why cops wear body cams. They don't tell you to turn off cameras. They want transparency, and that's not what happened here.
And you know for a fact they asked for the cameras to be turned off.
They asked for the cameras to be turned off.
All right, that's Sean Hannity and Eric Trump. Bottom line is, hey, Trump said we recorded them. Now, they asked for the cameras to be turned off. Trump's team refused. My question is, why do they want the cameras off? Answer, so they can lie and manipulate and pervert the truth. That's what CNN did. But the good part is Richard recorded the whole thing, and you can hear the real debate and the real discussions. Richard wasn't literally saying the FBI is Nuremberg, that they're Nazis. He was merely saying they're acting like they don't have any responsibility when they're following orders. That's wrong. We learned that from Nuremberg. They have responsibility. They shouldn't just follow orders. They should do what was right or what is right. And that was Richard's point, completely lost on the CNN woke, whacked out commentator that's trying to pretend she's peddling news. That's, see, that's the truth of the matter.
And that's the thing, Sam. That's why you're spot on, as you always are. But that's why you've got to record these things from start to finish, so that you will have a recorded record that will combat their treatment of it, which is going to be hacked up into pieces. And, of course, the media thinks now that they can get away with anything. They've been so emboldened that when they come up against an opponent, they believe that they can get away with absolutely anything. That's why they called me the leader of the Ku Klux Klan in 2016. That's why they called Judge Roy Moore just a year later a child molester.
But in 2007, they had on the leader of the Ku Klux Klan, ladies and gentlemen. See how that works? And he's not even the leader. It's not even true, and the courts admitted it isn't true, but they don't care. Their lies carry more lies. They get power from lies, is the bottom line. Interesting indeed.
We've talked about this so many times, I take for granted that when I mention or that when we talk about this or touch on it, that everybody's going to know what happened. But yes, I mean, it goes without saying. What did they say back in the McCarthy days? Am not now, nor was I ever, the leader of the Ku Klux Klan. Now, that was just a slur that a newspaper threw out against me in 2016, really to damage Donald Trump, because we had just received some press credentials from the campaign. But they got away with it, and they thought that they could get away a year later with calling Moore or suggesting that he was a child molester and that he had been banned from a mall, which was completely fabricated. I mean, none of that happened, and it came out that it didn't happen. Now, they had to pay a price. Sometimes they still get away with it. But what they don't
They still manipulated the elections over it, so they haven't paid enough of a price, ladies and gentlemen.
No, that's right. Yeah, because you would have had another conservative senator.
A CBS anchor by the name of Nora O'Donnell. She tried to refute Trump's claim that the FBI seized his passports. Then Trump's team shows the proof. So here's what happened. Trump said, hey, they stole my passports, man. And this lady, O'Donnell, gets on there like she's the news anchor, the news teller, the truth teller. And she goes, no. And she starts to produce government evidence that it isn't true. The bottom line is it is true. Trump whipped out the proof and shut her down. Now the DOJ admits that the FBI agents stole, they claim seized, passports from Trump. Now listen, it was not in the inventory list left for Trump's attorneys either. So not only did they steal the passports, they knew they stole them, or else it would have been part of the inventory list. They're now taking things. So here's the next question. What else did they take that's not on the inventory list? What else did they leave that they brought with them to plant? Folks, this is absolutely insanity. And you have the mainstream press, CBS anchor, Nora O'Donnell, literally getting caught lying. And now the DOJ admits it. The DOJ also believes that the FBI had acted outside of its purview, authorized by the court during the famous raid. Yeah. For the first time, we have confirmation that they collected evidence that they did not have authority to collect.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You- USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
China continues to threaten President Biden and the American people. Beijing's ambassador to the United States warned Tuesday it will view further U.S. arms sales, official travel to Taiwan, or naval activity near the self-governing island as provocations that will further destabilize relations and prevent progress on other issues. Representative Liz Cheney, the Republican from Wyoming, lost her re-election campaign by a landslide Tuesday.
No House seat, no office in this land is more important than the principles that we are all sworn to protect.
Lawyer Harriet Hageman will represent the Republican ticket in November's midterm elections. Arizona and Nevada will face more cuts in water from the Colorado River and Lake Mead. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation said Tuesday it's blaming the drought for the cutbacks. USA Radio News.
Make money doing what you love. It can be done. Matter of fact, it has been done. Consider the story of Jack London. He's one of the highest paid writers of all time. Authored The Call of the Wild, recently released as a blockbuster movie starring Harrison Ford. Jack grew up in a rough neighborhood in Oakland, poor, uneducated, and a school dropout. As a child, Jack fell in love with the idea of being a writer. The notion that an uneducated, dirt-poor school dropout from Oakland could someday be a published writer was insanity. You know the rest of the story, though. Jack London became one of the richest writers of all time. Discover Jack's secret that allows anyone of any income or educational level to make money doing what they love. Whatever it is you love more than anything else, let's make that your prosperous living. Go right now to discoveringjack.com. That's discoveringjack.com. His secret is free. Just go to discoveringjack.com. Discoveringjack.com.
China's premier has called on the country's richest provinces to offer economic support to boost pro-growth measures. China saw consumption and output unexpectedly slow down in July. An uncompromising zero-COVID approach was probably the reason. In a rare move, China's central bank cut lending rates on Monday to revive demand. The on-again, off-again, on-again kidnapping trial of the governor in Michigan continues.
Defense attorneys in Michigan grilled an FBI informant in the trial of two men accused of conspiring to kidnap Governor Gretchen Whitmer. They questioned Dan Chappell's motivation to get inside a band of anti-government extremists and the key steps he took to gather evidence. Adam Fox and Barry Croft Jr. are on trial for the second time on conspiracy charges. A federal jury could not reach a unanimous verdict in April, but acquitted two other men. In the USA Radio News Midwest Bureau, I'm Katie Lewis.
USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we got so much to cover. Cameron, I want you to skip the break, if you will. I'm with James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, ladies and gentlemen. CBS anchor Nora O'Donnell literally got caught lying. She tried to say, no, they didn't take Trump's passport. Trump's lying. Well, it turns out Trump showed the proof, and now the Justice Department literally admitting they did. Yeah, the DOJ admits they literally stole the passports from Mar-a-Lago and had to return them. It was not on the inventory list provided as well. So now you got to wonder what else was stolen that they shouldn't have. We're talking about passports. We're talking about attorney-client privilege papers and documents. Wow. Now, listen, Alex Jones had attorney-client privilege information that got leaked to the other side, supposedly in error. I think it was on purpose. That's my opinion, to which I'm entitled. And then they used that against Alex in court. They also used that against Alex and sent it to the January 6th people. So now what are they going to, before they give a lot of Donald Trump stuff back, are they going to send some of it to January 6th investigators? What's going to happen? Did they plant evidence? If they stole evidence that's not on their, quote, inventory list, did they leave things behind that they brought with them? This is serious. Now, Kevin McCarthy, quote, preserve your documents and clear your calendar, he says. Now, I don't mean to be rude, but I'm sick of the Republicans telling me elect us and we'll get something done. They've lost so much credibility. Sadly, McCarthy, you're just spewing. If they've committed criminal activity, we need to prosecute now. And you say, well, Sam, they don't have the majority. They can't. Yes, they can. You've got still how many Republicans? Over 200 of them in the House and 50 of them in the Senate, right? All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you take 250 politicians who simply stand in front of the Capitol and say, we will not be in session, we will not act in the will of the people, in day-to-day operations. We will stay here and talk to the media all day, every day, all 250 of us, until we have criminal action taken against these thugs and criminals. And we will not move until this is done. You tell me right now they couldn't move the needle? James.
Yeah, everything, again, that you say is resonating. And I want to go back to the fact that you have to record everything that these people do with the body cams. They want to turn body cams off. Since when do they ever want to turn a body cam off? And then whether it's the media, you got to remember this, whether it's the media or now even institutions like the FBI or the Department of Justice or the Department of Injustice or the Department of Social Justice, whatever it is now, all of these entities make up the system. They're all part of this anti-Christ, anti-American system, really. And you have to keep an eye on them. You would like to think, I mean, I know nobody's so naive to still believe this, but that the media would be objective. I mean, of course, we know that that's not true, but you have to record now your own interviews with media because you know in advance they're going to hatchet it up like they did with Richard Mack to push a narrative. And even now with the very federal law enforcement agencies that at some point in American history, at least people believed that these people were out to uphold rule of law, and they're not. Paul Craig Roberts wrote a very good article about this, and it touched on what you were saying a moment ago. I mean, yes, the Republicans have wimped out and trimmed their sails so many times, you can't put any faith in them either, although there is a very vocal minority within the Republican Party that is growing and is becoming more and more outspoken, and I do believe people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, for instance, I think she has talked about impeaching Merrick Garland. I do believe people like that would go along with it. Paul Craig Roberts, though, the former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, he worked in the Reagan administration, Washington guy, but very much on our side, or at least formerly Washington guy. I mean, he's very old now. He's been out of the game for a long time. But he wrote in his most recent column at paulcraigroberts.com that he doesn't believe that Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy have what it takes to actually go toe-to-toe and do what needs to be done with these
things. That is exactly my point, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate them talking, but look, you look at the Democrats and how they act when they don't have the majority. And I'm telling you right now, they shut down the Republicans left and right. They put together coalitions, and they stand up so boldly and make so much noise to where they get something done. We're not using our political capital properly. We're too afraid and too chicken. Now, the DOJ is opposing release of the affidavit now for FBI. That's according to Tyler Durden at Zero Hedge. Now, here's the interesting tidbit about that. Understand, folks, the warrant is what the judge says, yes, here's the details of how you can go about it. That's great. We got that. That's better than nothing. We found out Garland signed it. That's a little bit of information that they tried to withhold as well. Now, but the affidavit is a document that says, here's what we're asking for, and here's why we think we have the right to go get it. Without that, folks, we don't know enough to really make decisions. Okay? Without that, we really don't know the score. And now the DOJ is opposing the release of that affidavit. This is where transparency needs to matter. Like I said, you need 250 Republicans, 200 in the House, 50 in the Senate, to literally go out on the Capitol and stand there and say, look, media, and if the mainstream press won't cover it, we will, and they'll just simply be circumvented. Their gatekeeping days are over. The new media is indeed taking center stage, ladies and gentlemen, and we will simply report on it, and we'll just, and the whole point is this, we're not going to take any action on anything at all until you release the affidavit. Okay, don't tell me the Republicans can't get this kind of stuff done if they stick together. The problem is the Republicans are so cucked, so weak, so wimpy, so failed that they can't get it done. Okay, they've been held hostage by Liz Cheney, Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney, and some of these other betrayers to the point where they can't get anything done. Let me give you another point. They said that, hey, you know what? Donald Trump might have violated the Espionage Act. Well, now Senator Ron Paul rightly wants the Espionage Act to be repealed, and he highlights how it's been misused and abused and everything else. Now, just imagine if these 250 same people that said we need the affidavit now said, look, we're gonna abolish the Espionage Act. Now, they might not be able to abolish it themselves if they don't have the majority, but if they start taking actions like that, saying, look, we stand with Rand, We need to abolish the Espionage Act. It's bogus and it's been misused against us. We need to abolish the IRS. Look at its abuses. We're not going to have 87,000 agents. We're going to get rid of it. Okay, if they were really boldly standing together for things that mattered, forcing the media to report the truth, I would have a little bit of hope. But without that, I don't have any confidence, James. Zero. Why?
Well,
because they've had shame on me, shame on me, shame on me so many times it's not even funny.
You know, we talk a lot, Sam, about how the ground does seem to be shifting, especially within the Republican base over the course of the last 5 years. And there's so many trends, so many polls, so much anecdotal evidence, even in the very rhetoric of people up to and including, on occasion, Ron DeSantis mentioning, for instance, that the black-on-white attack of the parade-goers at the Christmas gathering in Wisconsin last year was an anti-white attack. So their rhetoric is getting a little more pointed. And you do have people like Lauren Boebert and some others that I've mentioned two women of that's interesting, and that you can count on to actually take the fight to the enemy. But
if they would have locked her up, James, I would be a lot more confident in their agenda.
Well, but see, that's a different. Even the Republican Party of 2015 is almost unrecognizable to where it's going now, and that's a good thing. You had a member of the state legislature in Florida by the name of Sabatini, a Republican member of the State House in Florida, that said, "Get the feds out of Florida." He's wanted to pass a,
and he's spot on right. I wish Ron would take action yesterday.
Well, that's right. Well, he's running for Congress.
If you use Sheriff Richard Mack's case, it proves that is absolutely doable. But you got to have the mojo, ladies and gentlemen. Now, good news, though. Liz Cheney lost her primary. Trump backed, what do you call her, Harriet Potterman?
Hageman.
Is that her name?
Yeah, I don't know. Hageman?
Hageman. Anyway, I don't know. Hageman. Anyway, Harriet won, Liz lost. Now, that, in my opinion, is good news. But again, we don't know Harriet's track record. So it's kind of good news. It's better news than keeping her there. But is it good news all the way to the bank? Time will tell.
Well, it's certainly an upgrade. I mean, no matter who this is and no matter what she's going to do, and she positions herself, of course, as an America first, quote unquote, Republican and a Trump loyalist. So I think we can probably she'll probably generally vote in the way that a Marjorie Taylor Greene would vote, which is going to be far better than Liz Cheney. And by the way, you were talking about Rand Paul. Now, that's another guy that I think you can count on to do something like this. And he mentioned the fact that Cheney is gone is good for the world, because he mentioned that one of the most warmongering representatives in American history, and of course her family, responsible for all the death and carnage and all of these unconstitutional wars, you know, or at least played a large part into them, if not solely responsible, you know, played an oversized part in it. They're gone. Trump completely ended the Bush-Cheney dynasty. I mean, they're all gone. And so, yes, I think that, you know, if this whole thing, we were talking about Roy Moore earlier, if this had happened this year, I think Roy Moore still goes into Congress, or rather to the United States Senate. So that just, again, is an example of how much I think that the landscape is changing and the terrain is changing over just the course of the last 4 or 5 years.
This conversation happened between Sam and James when Trump ran down the escalator. James was super excited that Trump was going to change the world and deliver. Sam said, not so fast. They're all insiders. I'm going to just hail back to that, and I'm going to hail back to Newt Gingrich with the contract on America. He basically cheated on his wife and melted down completely. Good old Newt Gingrich did. And now Donald Trump is putting together an 18-point contract with America. Did you hear this?
No, I haven't heard that one yet.
Yeah, so there you go. We're just kind of going to have, you know, we're going to have let history repeat itself. And then it's going to be, oh, shame on you, Sam. And then it's going to be, oh, well, I guess you were right, but it's better than it was. And it was so close, but no cigar. You know, we're going to be right back to that reality check, folks. You want to know why? Because there's not enough Rand Pauls. There's not enough Sam Bushmans. There's not enough James Edwards, folks. We need to seriously stand up. Let me give you an example. They lied to us about the vaccines. They literally said, if you get vaccinated, you won't spread it. And they let people literally run around that were vaccinated but infected. And if you were unvaccinated, you're going to be locked down. Well, now it turns out Jill Biden tested positive. So the president's wife tested positive for COVID-19, even though she is double vaxxed and twice boosted, ladies and gentlemen. So now let me explain. You've got Anthony Fauci, Joe and Jill, all three, twice vaxxed, double boosted, infected, all three of them. How does that happen under Donald Trump's fast-tracked or Operation Warp Speed vaccines? Now, are they together on this, or what's going on? They all agree that if you just do the vaccine, would be good. Even Donald agrees with that. I say they're all lying to you, ladies and gentlemen. And otherwise, how do those three? Well, Sam, it's a rare exception that they get the cocoa, or it's a rare exception that they pass it around. Not when those top three just got it. And ladies and gentlemen, then what they say is, but don't worry, because she's double vaxxed, because she's double boosted, the symptoms are mild. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I haven't taken any vaccines. And the second time, or the third time I got COVID, the symptoms were mild too. Oh, natural immunity coming out. See, the debate's on, but look, which Republicans are speaking up about that? Nobody, just Sam. Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, all these things happen under the Republicans too. And I don't see a sea change. I see a lot of rhetoric. I see a lot of begging for money. All they're doing now about Mar-a-Lago is begging me for money and telling me to elect them, please. I just don't have trust, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Biden now signed the Inflation Reduction Act into law on Tuesday. It's a $740 billion behemoth. It includes almost $370 billion for green energy initiatives, a 15% tax on corporations with a reported annual income of over $1 billion, a price-setting mechanism for Medicare, and almost $80 billion in funding for the IRS. Now, I don't hear a lot of Republicans speaking out too much about this. Now, Joe says, let's be clear on this historic moment. Democrats sided with the American people, and all the Republicans voted against it. All of them. Do you want to respond to that, James?
I don't even know where to begin. There was quite a bit I wanted to say. Yes, I mean, the Republican Party is doing a lot of saber rattling, or some of the, as we mentioned before, the vocal minority is. There is no doubt that the Republican base has become more radicalized. And anytime I use that word, it carries a negative connotation. I mean, they have radicalized in the best sense of the word. They have really woken up, okay? The Republican base has woken up. And it is because the Republican base has traveled so far in such a short amount of time that you have elected officials saying the things that are now getting us a little bit of excited, but still they haven't shown any fangs yet. They haven't really gone. Now, the Democrats, that's another story. Aided and abetted by the media and by all of this institutional power that conservatives don't have, the Democrats will go in to turn out your lights. They will put forth legislation that will turn the country in their image, and the Republicans need to be bold enough to do that. Now, whether or not they ever do it, like you said, Sam, right now it's a lot of asking for money, a lot of asking for votes, and they are saying a lot of things. We'll see if they can get a majority this November, if they go back.
Yeah, they'll be
election
frauded right out of it, buddy. That's what'll happen to them, because they won't even admit there's election fraud, most of them.
But if they're going to they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to get real. They're going to have to get real, and they're going to have to really go after taking things back rather than just winning elections and raising money. How is this thing on COVID,
though? Why don't
you
hold your breath for that one, James?
I'll be dead. But, I mean, listen, that's why I say the whole thing has to fall apart. I think the whole system has to fall apart. I don't think we're going to reform our way out of this. I don't think we're going to work through the existing system and get back this an American experiment that the founding fathers would have realized or that would have brought glory to God or anything like that. I think something new has to come. So I don't think we're going to vote our way out of this. I think that the rot is too deep. But this whole thing with COVID, though, is, now that's not to say don't go out and support people that are saying the right things. I mean, do what you can with the opportunities you have available right now. Right now, that's the only option that there is, so continue to do it until something else presents itself. But this thing with COVID, nobody under my roof got vaccinated this whole time. Nobody under my roof got sick. I mean, yeah, we got sick a few times, but I don't know if it was COVID or something else. We never went and got tested. It could have been COVID. I don't know. But it was not more or less than any normal illness that would set you back in the winter for a few days, if it was. But what was so striking to me, Sam, was the new guidance from the CDC that was released last week. I mean, can you believe this? After 2 years of shaming and threatening and all but making it, and in some places in the world it was illegal, but all but making it illegal, certainly hugely inconvenient if you lived in a city here in the United States, if you were not one vax, two vax, three vax, whatever, for you to participate in society. The CDC came out last week, and here are their new guidelines, 4 points. New COVID-19 guidance from CDC focuses on individual decisions. And this is from the CDC's website. After all of that for the last 2 years, what kind of a test run or a PSYOP was this? Here's the CDC now, though. Those exposed to the virus are no longer required to quarantine. Unvaccinated people now have the same guidance as vaccinated people. Students can stay in class after being exposed to the virus. It's no longer recommended to screen those without symptoms. But look at number two there. Unvaccinated people now have the same guidance as vaccinated people. If you had the mental fortitude and the wherewithal to dig your heels in and say, nope, something doesn't sound right about this. It's just not that deadly. I'm not going to get vaccinated. I don't trust the system. I don't trust the media. I don't trust a hastily produced big pharma product. I'm not going to get vaccinated.
It's Obamacare and it's Donald Vax, just so you know.
But if you could withstand that for 2 years, and now they're saying, unvaccinated people now have the same guidance as vaccinated people. That means that if you were able to walk through all that, imagine if you, against your intuition and against what you would have otherwise done, you allowed yourself, maybe you had to do it to keep a job. I know a lot of people that were like that. So you got the vaccine, and now they're saying, not a big deal anymore. If you're unvaccinated, you're the same as a vaccinated person in our eyes. Imagine if you cried uncle and you had your arm twisted to the point where you got this thing, and you're going to worry about the potential effects of the rest of your life, and only for if you could have made it 2 years, no big deal. This is incredible.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And believe it or not, with Jill Biden, I'm sad that she got the COVID. I hope that she comes through it okay. But I find that interesting. What happened, they said that she took a test and it said that it was negative, that she took a different test and it was positive. So they're even highlighting the fact that the tests aren't even accurate and don't even work, ladies and gentlemen. And these people literally ran around everywhere you went and took your temperature to see if you had a fever or not, to see if you're okay. I mean, everything they do is absolutely not science at all. Now, I want to go back to this Inflation Reduction Act, ladies and gentlemen, because really it's going to empower China's economy more than the United States economy. Believe it or not, China uses coal as a primary energy source. They produce 80% of the world's solar panels and 77% of lithium-ion batteries. Coal accounted for, quote, 58% of China's energy in 2019. Okay, the bill is doing more to help China's economy than America's, folks. That is a fact. And so now you're going to have this green energy. What you're going to have is more brownouts, more blackouts, more expensive delivery for energy at every turn. And the energy grid will become less and less and less reliable, James.
It's going to be interesting to see where we go the next few years. I say again to accentuate your point here that this whole system is teetering right now for the reason you just stated. That's just one of many infrastructure concerns, the rapid amount of faith that at least half the country, at least the Trump voters, are losing or have already lost completely in our institutions. When faith in the public institutions erodes, things fall apart and something new comes up, or there's some sort of an event and some sort of a clash. And I don't know what the future is going to hold, Sam, but I think the next decade is going to be very telling. And I think it's going to be a decade that will forever change the path of the United States. You look at the last 5 years since Trump, and this is the thing, you know, Trump inadvertently is responsible for all of this, if not for any other reason than the system's overreaction to the threat that he posed to their rule. it might not have been true. It probably wasn't true. He certainly didn't get a lot done. He said some things that we liked on occasion, and he was a chaotic type of candidate and a chaotic president. But because of their overreaction and because of the sort of synthesis with them pushing trans and critical race theory and the riots of the Floyd riots and Trump sort of being there, it just all sort of crystallized in the eyes of half people that, hey, these institutions are not for us, media, law enforcement, et cetera, et cetera. And you certainly see a trajectory here over the last few years. And if it continues into the rest of the 2020s, I don't think America exists as it exists now by the end of this decade. I think it splits.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This is shocking, but I got good news. You ready for the good news?
Oh, yes. Let's finish on that.
All right. The FDA decides to allow over-the-counter sales of hearing aids. They say the action opens the door to cheaper, more accessible hearing devices without a prescription now. Now, I find this interesting. So for the last who knows how many years, my whole lifetime, you had to have a prescription. You had to have a doctor. You had to have all this crap just to get hearing aids. Now they're saying you just get them. Why couldn't you just get them before? And if it wasn't okay then, how come it's okay now? I think it's great news, but it's fascinating, right?
You know, that it's funny that you say that because my father just recently had to get hearing aids. And it was certainly very much a process. It was, you had to get a consultation. You had to go to an ENT. You had to get it written in. And very expensive, I might add. Very expensive for a pair that, you know, will really help you. And, yes, that's interesting news to me that these will be available over the counter. That's definitely news. That's the kind of progress, though, that I think we can get behind. Most of the time, progress just means degeneracy and making things progressively worse, but this is something that actually is some good news and something that has affected my family recently, very personally. But I'll tell you,
think about it, James. Why would they say for years and years and years and years and years, you can't do this yourself, you have to have a prescription? Now it's just like, oh, cool, you can do whatever you want. And I think, what are they doing? Now the FDA and all these government agencies that have literally 100% lost credibility, now the FBI is stopping all kinds of sex trafficking. Now the FDA wants to go ahead and say, oh, you can have hearing aids now. Now the CDC wants to say, oh, you can make your own decisions on vaccines. We are getting so in their face now. They're backing off, hoping we won't start abolishing agencies, James.
Yeah, that's a good take on it. That's an interesting take. As usual, Sam, you see things four-dimensionally, and I hadn't quite considered that angle, but that could be. Yeah, there is a very real threat. I mean, here's the thing. We got about a minute left. You look throughout history, almost every, if you want to use the word revolution or societal shift, is a top-down movement, okay? It's a top-down movement. But a single guy, I mean, Trump couldn't have done anything without the support of 60, 70 million people. The working class, the middle class, they don't lead revolutions, but you've got to have them in order to make it happen. So these people are pushing back on these agencies. These people are the ones that are responsible for elected officials now saying abolish the FBI. I mean, you would have never heard a Republican congressman or senator say abolish the FBI a couple of years ago, but you're to that point now because the people are there. And if you get a true leader, if you get a true leader that will come in and say the things that needs to be said, I mean, truly take it to the next level from what we're getting right now, but actually has the guts to do it, they will be empowered by these people, and that man will give them safe cover, and these people will support that man. And I think Trump stopped just shy of that. I don't know what was in his heart the whole time. Inadvertently or purposefully, he got us to this point, though. And some things, conditions are favorable for things to happen now. We'll see.
Amen. And boy, howdy do I pray James Edwards is right, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, we're going to be on the James Edwards Show coming up this Saturday evening. Check that out. I'll be there as well. We're literally sharing commentary, promoting each other's shows for great reasons. Check us out Saturday night, thepoliticalcesspool.org. It'll be an incredible 3 hours. I'll tell you that, like it always is. James, thank you, sir. We'll have you back soon.
Thanks, brother.
For James Edwards and Sam Bushman, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.